नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 39, Akura's Vision. Text number 39. Tatro paspriśya paniyam Pitva mishtam mani prabham Vrikshasandam upaprajya Saramo ratama vishat Tatram in his hand Ritva drinking Mrishtam sweet Mani like jewels Prabham effulgent Briksha of trees Shandam a grove Upabraja moving up to Saramaha with Balara Ratam the chariot Avishat he mounted. The river sweet water was more effulgent than brilliant jewels. After Lord Krishna had touched it for purification, he drank some from his hand. Then he had the chariot moved near a grove of trees and climbed back on along with Balaram. Akrurastvabhupamantriya niveshacharato pari kalindyara damagatya shnanam vidibhadacharat. Akura asked the two lords to take their seats on a chariot. Then, taking their permission, he went to a pool in the Jamuna and took his bath as enjoined in the scriptures. Nimajya tasmin sharire japan brahma sanatanam taveva tadrishe kruro rama krishno samanvito. While immersing himself in the water and reciting eternal mantras from the Vedas, Akura suddenly saw Balaram and Krishna before him. To ratastro katamiha chutavana katundubhe tarhi svitsyan dame nasta ityun majjavya chastasha tatrapicha yata purvam asino punarivasaha nyamajad darshanam yanme mrisha kim shalile tayo. Akura thought, how can the two sons of Anakadundubi, who are sitting in the chariot, be standing here in the water? They must have left the chariot. But when he came out of the river, there they were on the chariot, just as before. Asking himself, was the vision I had of them in the water an illusion? Akura re-entered the pool. Bhuvyastatrapisotrakshit Stuyamana Mahishvaram Siddhacharanagandharvair Asurair Natakandarai Sahasrasirasham Devam Sahasrapanamolinam Nilambaram Vishyasvetam Sringai Svetam Ivastitam. There Akura now saw Ananda Sesha, the Lord of the Serpents, receiving praise from Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas and demons who all had their heads bowed. The personality of Godhead, whom Akura saw, had thousands of heads, thousands of hoods and thousands of helmets. His blue garment and his fair complexion as white as the filaments of a lotus stem made him appear like white Kailash mountain with its many peaks. Tasyot sange ganasyamam pita kosheya vasasam purusham chatubhujam shantam padma patranunekshanam charu prasana vandanam charu hasanirikshanam suprunasam charu karnam Sukapolarunadaram Pralambapi Varabhujam Tungang Sorastalastriyam Kambu Kantam Nimnanabam Palimat Palavodaram. Akrura then saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead lying peacefully on the lap of Lord Anantasesh. The complexion of that Supreme Person was like a dark blue cloud. He wore yellow garments and had four arms and reddish lotus petal eyes. His face looked attractive and cheerful with its smiling, endearing glance and lovely eyebrows, its raised nose and finely formed ears, and its beautiful cheeks and reddish lips. The Lord's broad shoulders and expansive chest were beautiful, and his arms long and stout. His neck resembled a conch shell, his navel was deep, and his abdomen bore lines like those on a banyan leaf. Brihat kati tatashroni karaboru dvayanvitam charu janu yugam charu jangha jugala samyutam tungagau parunanaka brattaditi tibhirvitam navanjuli angushta dalayar vilashat padapankajam. He had large loins and hips, thighs like an elephant's trunk, and shapely knees and shanks. His raised ankles reflected the brilliant effulgence emanating from the nails on his petal-like toes, which beautified his lotus feet. Sumaharha mani bratta kirita katakangadai katishutra brahmasutra haranupura tandalai brajamanam padmakaram Sankachakra Gadadharam Sri Vatsavakshasam Rajat Kostubham Vanamalinam. Adorned with a helmet, bracelets and armlets, which were all bedecked with many priceless jewels, and also with a belt, a sacred thread, necklaces, ankle bells and earrings, the Lord shone with dazzling effulgence. In one hand he held a lotus flower, in the others a conch shell, discus and club. Gracing his chest were the Srivats mark, the brilliant Kostuba gem, and a flower garland. Sunandananda pramukai parasadai sanakadibhi surashayar brahmaru dadyayar navabhischa dvijottamai farhada naradavasu Pramukhair Bhagavotamai Stuyamanam Pritak Bhavair Vacho Bhir Amalat Nabhi Sriya Pushya Gira Kantya Kirtya Tushje Vayor Jaya Vidyaya Vidyaya Shakya Mayaya Cha Nishevitam. Encircling the Lord and worshipping in Him were Nanda, Sunanda and his other personal attendants, Sanat and the other Kumaras, Brahma, Rudra and other chief demigods, the nine chief Brahmanas and the best of the saintly devotees headed by Prahlad, Narada and Upachara Vasu. Each of these great personalities was worshipping the Lord by chanting sanctified words of praise in his own unique mood. Also in attendance were the Lord's principal internal potencies, Sri Pushti, Gir, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Ila, and Uruja, as were his material potencies Vidya, Avidya, and Maya, and his internal pleasure potency Chakti. Purport. Vishvanatha Chakravarti explains the Lord's potencies mentioned in these verses. Sri is the potency of wealth, Pushti, that of strength, Gir, knowledge, Kanti, beauty, Kirti, fame, and Tushti, renunciation. Tushti. Tushti means satisfaction. These are the Lord's six opulences. Ila is his Bhu Shakti, also known as Sundani, the internal potency of whom the element earth is an expansion. Urja is his internal potency for performing pastimes. She expands as the tulsi plant in this world. Vidya and avidya, knowledge and ignorance, are external potencies who cause the living entities liberation and bondage, respectively. Shakti is his internal pleasure potency, hladini, and maya is an internal potency who is the basis of vidya and avidya. The word ja implies the presence of the Lord's marginal energy, the Jiva Shakti, who is subordinate to Maya. Lord Vishnu was being served by all these personified potencies.
Vilokyasu visham prito bhaktya paramaya yutaha risyatanuruho bhava pariklinat malochanaha gira gadgad dayasto shit Satvamalamya Satvataha Pranamya Murthanava Itaha Kritanjali Putashanai.
As the great devotee Akura beheld all this, he became extremely pleased and felt enthused with transcendental devotion. His intense ecstasy caused his bodily hairs to stand on end and tears to flow from his eyes, drenching his entire body. Somehow, managing to steady himself, Akura bowed his head to the ground. Then he joined his palms in supplication, and in a voice choked with emotion, very slowly and attentively began to pray. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 39th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Akura's Vision.
Om Jnanati Minandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadam Tikam Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Tamaham Adde Sri Gurum Dinatavinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Isvaram.
After leaving Vrindavan, Akura has travelled swiftly to the Jamuna. Having reached the Jamuna, it appears as if it's midday, because Akura is saying his Gayatri mantra in the waters of the Jamuna, which is what is recommended when you visit a sacred river. One should immerse oneself halfway. Then it's recommended that one takes a bath and purifies oneself, and then it's described here how the Jamuna is very beautiful, effulgent, like gems. The sparkling water is very clear and clean and purifying. So Krishna has drunk some of the water, and then Akura has sought permission from Krishna and Balaram to take bath in the waters of the Jamuna. And then in the waters of the Jamuna, he sees Krishna and Balaram, which puzzles him because he just left Krishna and Balaram on the chariot. They parked the chariot under a tree for protection or for shade. And then Akura went to take bath in the Jamuna. But as soon as he got in the Jamuna, he saw Krishna and Balaram. He's thinking, that's funny. I thought I left Krishna and Balaram back in the chariot. So he hops out of the water to have a look to see if they're still on the chariot, and they were still on the chariot. So he's slightly puzzled. And then he hops back into the water again, but he has a different vision, interestingly enough, as he says his mantras. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that in his first entrance into the river, he's influenced by the mood of the Brajabasis, by the gopis, and so he sees Krishna and Balaram. But when he enters the second time, he's chanting his Diksha mantra. And so he then sees the form of the Lord, which is evoked by his mantra, interestingly enough. The mantra is is a subtle sound vibration which invokes, if you like, the mood of the personality that it represents. This is why we chant the Gayatri mantras, is to remember Krishna, basically. We remember the spiritual master, we remember Lord Chaitanya, we remember Krishna. So in Akrura's vision, first of all he saw Anantasesh, who is Balaram. And it's described how he is white, like the peaks, his heads are white, like the peaks of Mount Kailash. You know, if you fly from Calcutta to Delhi and you look out on the right hand side of the airplane, you look out and you can see the peaks of the Himalayas there. And they're all covered with snow. So the hoods of Anantasesh are all white, like the peaks of a mountain. And it's described, he's wearing bluish garments, and of course Lord Balaram is the eternal servitor of Krishna. He is the original expansion of the Lord, who, even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, direct expansion, and so non-different from him, his mood is always in service. And as an undersage, he acts as the couch, if you like, for the Lord in his form of Mahavishnu. So, along with an undersage, he saw Mahavishnu in the waters of the Jamuna. Actually, in the Krishna book, it describes, the chapter heading is Akrura visits the Vishnu Loka. Right. So he's actually, by the chanting of his mantra, he's actually been transported to Vishnu Loka. This is the potency of the mantras that we chant, especially the Hare Krishna mantra. It has the potency, the power to transport us out of the material realm into the spiritual abode. If only when we chanted Hare Krishna, then we would be transported immediately to Krishna Loka. Actually, we're in Krishna Loka. But covered over by mountains of ignorance. And Prabhupada gives the example of a person who's asleep. They're lying in bed, dreaming, and in their dream, they're thinking they're in a particular location. Those last couple of mornings I've woken up dreaming about the devotees. And I thought, I'm thinking it. This one has come and visited Melbourne, or now I'm in Mayapur with the devotees. But actually I'm asleep, lying in bed. So we're dreaming. Of course it's nice to dream about the devotees and visiting Mayapur in our dreams. That's benediction of being a devotee. But in a conditioned state, actually our original position is in the spiritual world. But we're asleep to that, our original identity. Which is why we're given the mantras by a spiritual master. It's why we're given the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is to wake us up from our dreaming state. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. Jeev Jago, wake up sleeping souls, wake up sleeping souls. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? Yeah. I was listening to a class. This is Maya's trick. Listening to a class yesterday. And Prabhupada was talking to the devotees. And then all of a sudden you can hear the sound of green sleeves. And Prabhupada said, "What is that?" And the devotee said, "It's ice cream." And Prabhupada said, "You don't eat ice cream." He said, "We shouldn't eat ice cream, or don't eat ice cream." And he said, "This is they're, Prabhupada said, "They're canvassing. They're canvassing." And the devotee said, "Yes, they're canvassing." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, this is Maya's trick." She says, "Come on, come on, come on. Come and enjoy. Come and enjoy." And then she slaughters you. And she kills you. So we're lost to our original spiritual identity, unfortunately. But we're given a means by which we can remove that covering of ignorance. So it's mentioned here. Maya, the internal potency. Right? Maya is the internal potency. She has two features. There's a Maha Maya and a Yoga Maya. And it mentions here. She is the basis of vidya and avidya. Knowledge and ignorance. When we become attracted to the Maha Maya, the external energy of the Lord, that covers us over with ignorance. But if we can take shelter of the yoga maya or the internal potency, then that is the source of vidya or knowledge. Uncovering our ignorance. Jyotirgama. Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Come away from the darkness of tamas or ignorance and come into the light. So as you see, the potency of Akura's chanting of his mantras. And he is immediately transported to Vishnu Loka. And so he then sees Mahavishnu, Lord Mahavishnu, four hands, four arms, with a conch, with a lotus, with a chakra, with a club, gada. And very beautiful. Extremely beautiful, attractive form, broad shoulders, strong arms, beautiful, actually it starts with the face, smiling face, beautiful hair, very powerful, Mahavishnu, the source of the whole material creation. In Vaikuntha, along with all the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, his associates, Nanda, Sunanda, Sanak, Sanatan, the four Kumaras, Prahlad Maharaj is there, Narada Muni is there, and each one of them is glorifying the Lord. Each one of them is singing prayers to glorify Mahavishnu. And it's mentioned here, his internal potency. So this is actually Vaikuntha. What's being described here is Vaikuntha. And it indicates that the demigods eternally exist in Vaikuntha. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that the different demigods that exist in the material world are expansions of the original demigods that exist in Vaikuntha, eternally exist there with the Lord. They're as eternal associates. And my speculation is that the different demigods in the material world are jivas, but when it says they're expansions, it means that they must be expansions of their shakti or their potency, because they're not those personalities, obviously. But those personalities exist, they have their eternal position, and that they're described here, along with the six opulences. Shri, what's Shri? Beauty. Pushti, power or strength. Gear, knowledge. Kanti, beauty. Now hang on, Shri, what's with Shri? Shri is wealth. So not beauty, wealth. Of course wealth is beautiful. Seen as wealth. Wealth is seen as beauty. Shri is wealth. Pushti is strength. Gear is knowledge. Kanti is beauty. Kirti is fame. And Tushti is renunciation. So he's accompanied also by all of his opulences personified. Uraja, the internal potency, the Lila Shakti. Interesting, he mentions here, Vishwanath Chakravarti mentions that Uraja expands as the Tulsi plant. So the Tulsi is an expansion of the Lila Shakti. So it's interesting. You know, every morning we offer our prayers to Tulsi. What is the prayer? Please allow me to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Very elevated prayer, actually. You know, it's usually around about that time that we're falling back to sleep. After getting up early, we've been enlivened by Mongol Aarti, but then we start to fall asleep again around about by the Tulsi Aarti. Or start yawning. So we don't notice what elevated prayers we're chanting, but extremely elevated. Give me the adi, you know, seva adhika, give me the opportunity to render service to the divine couple in Vrindavan. That's the prayer. Because Tulsi is an expansion of Uruja or the Lila Shakti, then that's the right prayer to offer to her. So this is Akura's meditation, if you like, and he's getting a vision of the Vishnu Loka, Vishnu Lokas, while he's offering his Vedic mantras and then it's interesting to note, then what happened? He became extremely happy and enthused. This is the result of chanting Hare Krishna, of chanting our mantras, Gayatri mantras and chanting Hare Krishna, the result of chanting Hare Krishna is that one becomes happy and enthused, because one actually gets a vision of the spiritual realm. Maybe limited vision, we may not get a full, you know, technicolor experience like Akura. But one becomes enthused by chanting Hare Krishna, because one's directly associating with Krishna. Was it Nam Namakari Bahudaha Nija Sava Saktis Tatrapatani Amataha Smarane Nakalaha? There's no hard and fast rules for chanting a Hare Krishna. Very powerful. But within that mantra, Krishna has invested all of his potencies. If we can draw our mind away from the material world and have it focused on the pure sound vibration of the mantra, then we can get access to the spiritual realm and become enthused. Susukam kartam avyayam. Krishna explains the result of performance of devotional service. One becomes enthused. And his intense ecstasy caused his bodily hairs to stand on end and tears to flow from his eyes, drenching his entire body. When we see that, when we have festivals like Govardhan Puja and Snan Yatra, then everybody chants Hare Krishna and becomes enthused. We got some good pictures of Krishnagraja and Bhakta Glenn and Bhakta jumping up and down. I see everybody smiling and very happy. That's the direct result of becoming Krishna conscious. Susukam kartam avyayam. Joyful. Not morose. If we're morose, that generally means the opposite. Somehow managing to steady himself, Akura bowed his head to the ground. So he checked himself. And then, this is the end of this chapter. And in the next chapter, Akura is going to offer prayers to the Lord, enthused or inspired by his vision of Mahavishnu in Vishnu Loka, in his eternal abode, along with his eternal associates. Of course, this indicates that Akura is also an eternal associate of the Lord. In a voice choked with emotion, very slowly and attentively began to pray. So now Krishna's left Vrindavan. And of course the chapter after that is Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura. So things start to get exciting. I think they meet the washerman, right? And they request some clothes and he won't give them, so Krishna just chops his head off. Then they choose the clothes that they want. Then after that, he snaps the bow. That sends a message to everybody in Mathura that Krishna and Balaram have arrived. Then he kills Kuvalyapida. Then that leads us into the killing of Kamsa. So does anybody have any comments or questions?
Akura becomes perfect from offering prayers.
That's right, yes. Akura
is. Is it these prayers coming up, or is the ones he offered in Vrindavan? Is it? Or is it both?
I don't know. I would suggest perhaps all of them. That was his perfection.
Yeah.
Offering prayers. So he's the emblem of devotional service in offering prayers to Krishna. One of the nine items.
Nanda and Sunanda.
They're residents of Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
associates of friends of Lord Vishnu.
They the pilots.
The pilots.
The aeroplane comes out of Vaikuntha, is that them?
That's interesting you mention that. Sometimes, I can't remember where it is, but Sunanda and Nanda do welcome, is it Dhruva Maharaj to the Vaikuntha aeroplane?
Yeah, I think.
Welcome aboard. Yeah, they're residents of Vaikuntha that are very closely associated with Lord Vishnu. I guess they must look like they must have an eternal form that identifies them as those particular personalities. You know, it's interesting in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita because Mahavishnu is worshipped by the residents of the heavenly planets. And he's actually present there with Ananta Sesh and is being offered so many offerings and so forth. It's a description. So here they are in their eternal abode. So they must be recognisable, otherwise, you know, how would you know that there was Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma? Yes.
And they fall down again and another same place.
Yes. So the expansion is they're expanded through their energies, right? That's how I understand it. That potency is invested in another living entity. Because Krishna does that also. There are different personalities like Maharaj Prithu, I think, is an example of a jiva who has been endowed or imbued with one of Lord Vishnu's potencies. So in that way, the Lord can expand himself through his potencies rather than be personally present, which is a subtle method of expansion. So it's himself in the form of his potency, but not himself in reference to his personal identity. It's a separate living entity. Just like we're expansions of the Lord's potencies, separated, fragmental parts. Only we are limited parts. He's an unlimited, he's the unlimited part. Although he expands himself also into other unlimited parts, like Lord Balaram, for example.
What was the
Om Namah Shivaya? Oh, I don't know. It doesn't say here. A devotee. Yeah. He's a servant of Krishna. That's his role, servant of Krishna. But it doesn't say. Oh, I don't know. And it's not mentioned. Yes.
Whenever he